The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us a cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman. But still, no one said, "What are you looking for? Or why are you talking to her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he be the Christ?" When they went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to him, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say in 4 months the harvest will be here? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified, that one sows and another reaps. I send you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing in the fruit of their work. Many of the Samaritans of the town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me everything I have done." When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Have you ever been really, really thirsty? I have. One of the first 14 years I ever climbed was Mount Chavano. I ran out of water about 3/4 of the way through, and it really affected me for a while. My body started shutting down. After that, I bought one of those water purifying pumps to carry so that I would never run out of water again on such a long hike. The image of thirst is used throughout the Bible for our thirst for God. In Psalm 42 we hear, "As the deer yearns for flowing streams, so my soul thirsts for you, my God." Or in Psalm 63, "For you I long, for you my soul is thirsting, like a dry, weary land without water." Today's gospel also uses this image of human thirst for God. St. Augustine commented extensively on today's gospel, so I would like to use some of his ideas for the homily today. So a Samaritan woman comes at a very hot part of the day to a well to draw water, and Jesus is there and says to her, "Give me a drink." The woman embodies this whole tradition of which I've spoken, of human beings thirsting for God. She comes, as we all do, seeking. And she meets Jesus, who says to her, "Give me a drink." In other words, he says to her, "I'm thirsty." At this moment, two thirsts meet: the human thirst for God, and mysteriously, God's thirst for us. We thirst for God because we need him and cannot live without him. Well, Augustine says that God thirsts for us too, but not because he needs us. Instead, he desires us to be in relationship with him because he knows that that relationship will make us fully alive, which is what he desires for us. So Jesus is thirsty for her faith, for a response from her. The woman in the story is put off by Jesus' request. In Jesus' time, a Jew would have nothing to do with a Samaritan. But also, a man would never address a woman in public who was not his wife. So she's doubly shocked by this. In the same way, maybe we are shocked and confounded by God wanting us to be in a relationship with him. Perhaps we feel that we don't deserve it, or that we're too sinful to be in such a relationship. Nevertheless, the Lord wants us. He is thirsty for our faith. Jesus says to her, "If you knew who it was who was asking you for a drink, you would ask him and he would give you living water." What Christ is talking about is grace, is the divine life which he has come to offer. He's come to give us something to drink that will satisfy us. He says, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst." And this is the central point. He's saying to her, You come to this well every day to draw water, don't you? You drink it, but then you want more because it doesn't satisfy you forever. I want to give you this life of grace, of divine life, which will permanently satisfy your thirst. What's being described here is the play between disordered or concupiscent desire and the authentic desire for God. We have been made for God, wired for God. God alone will satisfy that desire. This woman coming to the well every day, drinking from it and not being satisfied, she's a symbol of all of us in our concupiscent desires. When we have replaced our desire for God into something or someone less than God. Maybe I say, wealth will satisfy my infinite longing. So I seek it and seek it and seek it. I enjoy it. It satisfies me for a time. But then I get thirsty again. I want more. So I go back. I go back. I go back. Or maybe I say, sexual pleasure with whoever I want will satisfy me. That will make me happy. So I seek it and I seek it and I seek it. And it doesn't satisfy me because it can't. So I want more, more, more. Or maybe I say popularity, fame will satisfy me. And so I seek it. I go to that well again and again and again, and it doesn't satisfy me. This woman symbolizes all of us sinners bringing the bucket of our desire to a place that will not satisfy us. Jesus says, I will give you water springing up in you to eternal life. That's grace. That's the divine life. He's saying, make me the source to which you come. I'm the source of living water. I'm the real well. And so Jesus says to her, go call your husband and come back. The woman says, I have no husband. Jesus responds, yeah, and you've had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. And she admits that he's right. In ancient times, a woman's husband was sometimes called by his wife, my lord. Actually, that was still true in Israel when I went to school there in 1995. You would sometimes hear, especially an older couple, the woman would call her husband Baal, which means my lord. This comes from a admittedly different time and culture when the husband ruled over his household, including his wife, like a lord ruled over his domain with absolute authority. So when Jesus asks her to call her husband, he's really asking her to find that which was running or directing her life up to that point. So she says, I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, that's right. You've had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. St. Augustine said that the 5 husbands stand for the 5 senses: sight, smell, touch, hearing, and taste. In other words, here's someone, like a lot of us, whose life has been run by her 5 senses. She's someone who is dominated by sensual pleasure in all its forms. Those should not be your husband. Those should not be the forces that govern your life. That's why Augustine says further that what we have here is a kind of marriage proposal. Jesus is saying indirectly, I want to be your husband. I want to be the power that governs your life. Let me live in you, that I might govern your mind and your will and your creativity and your sense of sensuality. Let me be your husband. The church fathers often talked about the marriage between heaven and earth that Jesus effected. The marriage between Jesus the groom and the church his bride. And here we see one example of it actually in the scriptures. The woman is so impressed by Jesus and what he's offering to her that she runs into the city announcing him. She says, "Everybody, come see this man who has told me everything I've ever done." Now, Jesus hasn't listed every single thing that she has done in her life, but he has uncovered the secret of her life. He's uncovered that which has governed everything she's ever done, which is her concupiscent desire. She's been seeking out God in all the wrong places. And that desire has governed and determined everything she's ever done. She's been governed by her five senses. So he has told her everything that she has ever done, in a sense. And because of this, she now announces him to the people of the town. She wants everyone to know about him. She's the first evangelist in John's gospel, the first one to proclaim Christ. Once she's been healed and cured, and she knows now where to find this living water that she's been looking for, all she wants to do is tell the world about him. You know, if you read a good book or see a great movie that really touches you, you go out and tell everyone, don't you? When you fall deeply in love, you go and tell your family and friends. This is our call to evangelization. Once we have been healed by the Lord Jesus Christ and brought to his living water, we want to bring everybody to him. So we go into the city, into the town, into the field, and we announce the Lord Jesus Christ as she did. Once we begin to drink the waters of grace, then we become like an overflowing fountain and offer that same grace to the world.